Okay. All right. All right. Today we have Mike Dwyer, who, if you've ever met Mike, is just one of the sweetest, softest, gentlest souls on this whole entire planet. I have so much respect for him and the work that he does and the way that he does it. And we talk about that a lot in this episode too. And I think that just the way that he approaches things is really fascinating. And he's so unbelievably talented. I've done a lot of recording in a lot of different places, I think, and worked with a lot of different people. And we recorded my song, Take Me Back. We recorded that entire song in it was like 3 or 4 hours or something. And it sounds, the production is amazing and it sounds so full and put together. And that's all thanks to Mike. And he moves so, he knows his craft so well. He moves so quickly and precisely through things. And it just like allows us on the other side in the studio to just be so creative because you're held so wholly by him through the whole thing. It's amazing. He's amazing. And I can't wait for you all to listen to this conversation and just kind of hear a different perspective. I know I've had a lot of musicians on this podcast, so it's kind of cool to have a different perspective of like the back end of being the engineer and more of the producer and how that works. And Mike also has a great dog. So if nothing else, go to his Instagram for his dog and to see his sweet baby angel face. So this is Mike Dwyer. Talking to normal
people. Are you comfy with it?
Yeah, this is cool.
Are you comfy? You can do whatever you want.
I feel like I'm trying to look at you, but I'm looking at the pop filter.
I also was like, he's going to come here and judge my setup.
I'm not going to judge your setup literally at all.
Oh my God.
Oh God.
Oh no.
Oh God. I'm just going to break everything.
If there's anyone I trust with my equipment, it's you, honestly. I'm like, do whatever you want. It doesn't really want to stay up there.
Okay. Well, that should be okay. I'm probably not going to do this. So, I'm sorry. I forgot you had headphones on.
I put headphones on.
I'm used to hearing the impact of what I'm doing.
No,
so I apologize.
No, not today. It's only me. I don't give my guests headphones because I feel like most people are not used to that.
Uh-huh.
And it makes them feel weird. Like, I feel like most people, like, for a while I did just like two handhelds. And then I was like, people do not know how to hold a microphone. Like, I was like, yeah, I need like, to just, no, or, like, it's this.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
They're holding it down here. And I'm like, I even JP and I did an episode and I was like, you have to hold the microphone up to your mouth, bro. So then I was like, I'm just going to use this condenser mic and stick it in front of somebody.
Perfect.
And it'll be fine. And it sounds great. So that's I love that microphone.
What is a Rode something or other?
Yeah, it is a Rode. I couldn't even tell you what it is, but it makes my voice sound pretty.
Yeah. The NTK, I've never used, I don't know if I've used any Rode mics, but I know NTK,
really?
Like, I've heard a lot of good things. Is that the tube one or is that the not tube one?
It's got like the whole thing.
Yeah. I've heard people say really good things about it.
Yeah,
so
I like it. This sounds, I'm hearing your voice in my headphones and it just sounds exactly like you.
Cool. Well, that's
like
a good thing.
You have a nice like voice, like a
thank
nice
you
podcast-y
nobody
voice.
Has ever said that to me Aww. Before literally
the
never
guy behind the desk for everyone. Oh my God. No, it's like it's really like it's soothing. You should it's like a nice timbre. Do you sing?
I used to attempt to sing. It's been a while since I've attempted to sing, but,
oh my God, I used to attempt to sing. Oh my God. Okay. Tell me more.
I was in, I sang in a couple of bands.
Okay.
Like the very first band I was ever in, I sang in, and the last band I was in, I was one of two singers in it.
No way.
And I did background vocals in the other bands that I've been was in, but I would not consider myself a singer.
No way.
Holy crap, no.
No, but like that's like a singer. That's totally a singer.
I sang. Yeah.
I sang.
I'm not a singer, but I sang.
That's how I feel about like I don't really feel like I'm a musician, but I play music. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like I look at other people and I'm like, you're a musician.
I was gonna say I completely disagree with you about you there.
Well, thank you, Bob.
But,
I don't
but
know.
Yes, I understand the
oh my God.
The concept there.
Yes. Well, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Absolutely.
Mike, you're just like one of my favorite people.
Thank you.
And whenever people like hit me up for like who they should go and record with, you're always my first.
That seriously means a lot to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Genuinely appreciate that.
I have to tell you, like, I don't know if I ever even like told you this before, but when we recorded like last year, we just did like that mic test basically for you. But then you were like, hey, you want to test this mic and then we can record a song? And I was like, fuck yeah. Like, that's fucking amazing. I was in the studio like a few months before that or whatever. And then I had been in the studio with a student, with a different engineer, and like working with like all these different people. And I was like, working with you was the most streamlined, like cohesive experience in a studio I have ever had.
That's awesome to hear.
It was amazing. And I think about it all the time. Like, I do. Where you were just like, it was like, I would do something and then you would be like, one more. And I'd be like, yes, you knew that I needed that. I didn't even have to, like, you anticipated things before, like, I even needed to, like, before I was even thinking about them.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, you were one step ahead of me the entire fucking time. And I'm always one step ahead of everyone else. You know what I mean? So I was like, what the fuck is up with this guy? Like, I was like, Jesus fucking Christ. So, you are incredibly good at what you do.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
No, that's really awesome to hear.
Yeah.
Because I obviously try to, one, both be good at what I do, but also, like you said, like, I try to, yeah, anticipate what's about to happen and stay ahead of things and be prepared for whatever's going to happen next. So just hearing that comes across to the musician.
Oh, no. It's unbelievable.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So, do you want to like tell the people a little bit about who you are? I feel like most people in the capital region know who you are now.
Maybe.
But,
yeah. I don't know. I don't know if they do. I was going to say like,
I don't know if they do.
Yeah. No, I was going to say like, I don't know. Like I grew up playing like in the Albany area, like years and years ago when I was playing in bands and stuff.
When you were singing.
Yes. When I was singing. but I feel like
hear your voice. Like, I want to hear it. Do you have any videos or anything?
There's probably something online somewhere.
Oh my God, I'm going to find it.
Yeah, we'll talk about that after the podcast. Nobody else needs to hear that.
No one else needs to hear that. Oh my God.
But yeah, I don't know. I feel like I had for a long time just kind of like lost touch with a lot of the musicians in this area. So like more recently I've been trying to like, yeah, just meet everybody and stuff. So so again, I don't know if they all know me, but
yeah. But if people don't,
yeah, hopefully.
I'm throwing so much shade.
Dang.
Dang.
But yeah, I own a recording studio called The Bunker Recordings in Catskill. I've been recording for, I don't know, 15, 16, 17 years, something
Whoa.
Like that.
Whoa.
What is it? 2026.
It is,
yeah,
now.
So,
here we are.
I don't know, at least 16 years, maybe a little more.
Holy shit, dude.
16, like, seriously.
Wow. I did not know that about you.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Holy
like
shit.
Like, literally, like, half my life.
It's been a while. Yeah, right? Isn't that weird to think about
that? Yeah,
it's
trippy.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like thinking about that, but it's weird.
Whoa. You're like, I've been doing this for half the time I've been alive. That's
yeah.
why you're so good at it.
Maybe. I you know. I don't know. I hesitate to say if I'm good at it or not. Like,
oh my
I don't know.
God.
It's just like, I try to be good at it. I'm always trying to get better. Like,
no, you're really good at it.
It's funny. I'm sure it's the same thing for, like, musicians. Like, you'll do something that you're so, so proud of.
Yeah.
And you're like, I fucking rock at this. Can I say fuck on this?
Oh, yes.
Okay, good. Because I just did.
Thank
my
you
bad.
For asking, but I do it all the time.
A little late. But yeah, I'll be just like, I am so good at this. Like, nailed that project.
Yes.
Awesome. And then, like, a week later, I'll just be like, oh my God,
it's
I'm terrible.
It's the worst thing ever.
Everything's horrible.
Yeah. Oh. Oh my God.
Or I'll, like, find some new album and just be like,
yep.
Oh my God, I will never be as good
I'll
as that.
I'll never be that. Yeah. I think I bounce back and forth between those two feelings. I can do it in a day.
Oh yeah.
Like, it can all happen in a day.
Yeah.
I can wake up and I'm like, I write something and I'm like, this is amazing. I'm amazing. And then by the end of the day, I'm like, I fucking suck. Like, you're just like, no, I'm terrible actually. Like, this is so bad. Yeah.
I was going to say, depending how deep and high those ups and downs go, like, I feel like they can be like healthy to an extent.
Yeah.
Cause like whenever I'm like, I suck at this, I am the worst music producer on the planet, I'm usually like about to hit something that like completely changes everything for me, like stumble onto something.
Gives you the drive to to be like, no, actually, like, I'm gonna rewrite those lyrics and I'm gonna whatever, because I'm like, no, I need to be better than this. I am
exactly
better than this, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel. Like, I don't know, I'm just always trying to, like, every project I'm just like, I got to make this the best thing I've ever done.
Yeah.
And like, it doesn't always happen, of course, but like, I try, you know?
No, it shows.
Well,
it definitely
thank you.
Shows.
I really appreciate that.
I know. So you're working with Julia Alsaraf right now.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. We just, we are putting the final touches on an album, and we just finished an EP that was released like a week ago or something.
Oh my God. Okay. Yeah, oh my God. Okay. Amazing.
We've just been...
You've been crushing it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Like I said, practically lived at the studio this year, it feels like.
That's great. What a great person to just have around.
Oh, I know. Julia is the best.
Yep.
Yeah. She was actually like one of the first people I knew in the Albany area again.
Okay.
As I've been reintroducing myself to all the Albany musicians.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. She was one of the very... I first worked with her like... I don't know, like maybe 7 years ago now.
Whoa. Okay. Oh, wow. So, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, we've been working together for a while. Yeah, we did like a single first, and then that became an EP. And then we've done like, I don't know, 8 projects since then or something.
How did she find you? Or how did you find her?
I went to some show somewhere in Albany. There was a group, CK and the Rising Tide. They were like an Americana group or something.
Okay.
Sorry, Curtis, if you're hearing this and you're not an Americana group, I'm so bad at
genres.
Oh my god!
But
I mixed some stuff.
I don't know.
What's that?
I said, what even is a genre? I don't know. And people can be like really picky about it.
Oh, I know. Yeah. And it's like I don't know. It's roughly rock music. It's roughly pop music. I have no idea.
It's kind of crazy.
Beyond
like,
that,
especially like with the Eddies things and stuff. Like,
oh, I know.
I have heard
multiple
people get really pissed about like what category they're in. I'm like, okay. Like, it's really not that serious. It's not. But also, like, no, you're definitely not like alternative.
Oh, uh-huh. Yeah, like, yeah, exactly.
But I don't know. I don't know who put you there, but whatever.
Yes, Julia was nominated for alternative artist.
Oh my
I believe.
God, was she?
Yeah. And then ironically, she released some pop punk bangers this year, just to,
oh my God,
to prove them right.
No,
I don't know.
No way. Really? Did you do that intentionally?
No,
okay.
just happened.
Oh my God.
The Eddies knew. The Eddies
just
knew.
Oh yeah, they knew. They could feel that she was going to be moving in that direction.
Sorry. I'm just going to fix. Yeah. Sorry. I'll let you fix it.
I'm just going to tell you that.
Okay.
I'm going to move this in. Yeah, move this back a little.
Do whatever you want. I promise I won't.
Don't touch me.
I think that's okay.
I think it's okay too.
Yeah, that looks good. As long as it doesn't like just yeah.
No, it's like perfect.
Yeah.
It's good. That's okay. That should stay.
Anyway. but yeah, so I just went to the show. I had mixed some stuff for that band. So I want to go see them live because they were playing in the Albany area.
Yes.
And Julia was opening and just like fell in love with her music. And like I went up to her afterwards and was talking with her. Yeah, she was just doing a solo gig.
Okay.
And it was just so good. And because she's not on social media or anything, I had to wait for her newsletter email to come out because I signed up for that at the show.
Yes.
Get contact information.
Yes, that's so funny.
And then I reached
God.
Out to her and I was like, hey, that third song you played that day, like I want to record that. Like, I will do it for free. I just need that song to like
exist in the ether.
So that was the first song we did. And then, like I said, we did an EP and a bunch more singles and now an album and another EP.
Holy shit.
And coming up on another album.
Yeah. She's just been with you that whole time.
Yeah, basically. I mean, she's worked with some other people in that time too for different things. but yeah, we've done a lot together, which has been a lot of fun.
Oh, that's so great. She's just like one of those people that like she's around and then I'm like, I'm going to be
yeah,
you know, you're like okay I have one safe place amidst wherever I am, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, I have a harbor. Like, she's just so chill and grounded and consistent in who she is as like a human
being. Absolutely.
And I'm just like, I fucking love that about her. She's so just like, yeah, it's amazing.
No, 100%. Yeah, she rocks.
That's great. Well, that's cool. What else are you working on right now?
Just kind of finishing up a lot of stuff at the moment.
Okay.
I feel like this was like the year of albums for people I was working with.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I was working with, like, I did a bunch of, singles and a couple EPs as well, but like just everybody this year wanted to do an album. So, like just right now, just like finishing up some revisions on a bunch of stuff.
Yes.
And like, just, you know, enjoying the slow holiday season for a quick minute.
Yes, that's so nice. And
as hectic as the holiday season can be, just taking a breather for a minute.
Yes,
before jumping back in.
I know, it's really hard. Like, I was just talking to, I just had somebody come in and record right before you, and we were just talking about that, like, being self-employed thing, and like taking, and like time off is like, oh, I have time off, but then you're like, but I'm also not making any money.
Yeah. Yeah, it's scary. It's a weird thing. It's
scary, right? Where you're like, you got like, I try to relax, but I feel like I can't fully relax because I'm like, ah, I'm not going to have any money in 2 weeks.
I know. It's, like, it's, and like, it's funny because like every year, you know, I'll have a slow season and a really busy season.
Yes.
But every time the slow season comes, it's like, oh my God, I'm never going to work again.
Yes.
This is it.
Yes. 100%. 100%. And then like the second you feel that way, it's like all of a sudden like give it a couple weeks and then yeah. like things start coming yeah. in and then you're
it'll
like,
come
oh.
back up.
Like, and now I have gigs and now I have things and now I have whatever. Like, because whenever I look at like an empty calendar, that's always like a moment of like, oh fuck. Like,
yeah.
And then, but then it's like learning to like be okay and like live in those like slower times.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because then you get to like the very busy times and then you're like, fuck, I need a day off. You know what
exactly.
I mean? Yes.
Yeah. It's yeah. a funny thing. Yeah. And like I said, like I know when those slow seasons come that like, it's not going to be that long and it's going to be fine.
Yes.
And I should just enjoy it.
Yes.
But like,
it's
I don't know.
Really
people
hard.
Are just the worst. We're just horrible.
I know.
So like,
I know.
We can't let I can't let myself just like
nope.
enjoy that.
Nope. Cause I was like, we were just talking about this when you walked in. I was like, I just had, it was like Christmas. So we worked, I had crazy, like pre-Christmas, like I worked every day and then we had a gig on Christmas Eve actually. And then Christmas Day we had off, but like that doesn't count as a day off because it's Christmas. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Like it's like we're going and we're seeing family and we're like doing that. And then like we worked on the day after Christmas and then I had the 27th, 28th, 29th and 30th off. And then we had a gig on the 31st and then I had the 1st, 2nd and 3rd off.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what the fuck? Like we were both like, holy shit. And by like the like 20, by like the 30th, we were both like, oh, we've been unwell. We were both just like, oh shit. Like finally coming, like really,
yeah.
like really letting my nervous system come down.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh my God. Like, cause JP didn't have an entire day off. Didn't have one day off for like the entire month of like November into December. Like
mm-hmm.
it was crazy. And I was like, that is not okay. Like that needs to never happen again. Like there's no reason for that. You
yeah.
know? But it's like, it's just, it's so hard though.
Oh
it's
yeah.
It's so hard. And like, we're just getting to the point where like, are you getting to this point where you're starting to feel like, are you learning how to say no to things? Are you there
yet? It depends.
Yet?
Some things, okay. yes. Some things, no. As far as just like, you know, timing wise, like, oh, I've got plenty going on. I really shouldn't take on anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not good at saying no for that yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll still be like, oh, I guess I can squeeze you in.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
But, but something I have gotten better at, is just saying no to like stuff I don't think I'm a good fit for.
Ah. And like being honest with yourself and the
exactly.
project about that. Yeah.
Cause I don't know. Again, I don't think that's fun for anybody.
Yeah.
Like, if
what
I say yes.
Not consider yourself? What do you consider yourself not a good fit for?
I don't know. Just, like, I don't know. It's hard to say. Like,
I'm like,
I
look
need
at you
like,
and I'm like, there's nothing you can't do.
I don't know. There's, like, some genres that, like, I don't know. I don't know much about. Not to say yeah. I wouldn't work in them, but just, like, you know, I don't necessarily know a lot about them. But, like,
yeah.
I don't know. I try to talk to people about their project beforehand just to, like,
yes.
you know, see what the vibe is like, what are we doing? What are we, you know, what are you trying to accomplish? What are your goals with this? What do you,
yes.
what do you want to do? And, yeah, sometimes just like, yeah, I don't know that I'm going to nail this for you. Like, you know, maybe you should like at least go talk to this guy instead, you know,
oh,
like I think they might nail
really
this.
That's really nice of you. Cause you could just be like, yes. And take the money.
I could, but again, like I don't know that that's good. It's definitely not good for them.
Yeah.
But I also don't know that that's good for me. Like if it's a project, like I don't, if yes. I'm like not into it,
yeah.
you know,
also true. Yeah. If
again, that's
not
fun.
It. Yeah.
And again, I don't feel like it's fair to them.
Yeah.
Like I would feel horrible. Like if I took somebody's money and like, they were like, eh, this is okay. That would crush me. Like, I don't know.
But also like, I just feel like that's very nice of you because I feel like most people would just be like, oh yeah, sure. Like come and do it and pay me the money
uh-huh.
and then do whatever they could do with whatever they had. Like that's, I feel like you need to really sit with that for a second and really realize like how kind of a thing that is to like pass off to someone else to be
uh-huh.
like, no, I'm not. I'm just like, I'm not a good fit for this. My heart won't be in it. Like there are plenty of people doing a lot of things in the arts and everything too, who who don't give a shit about it and are just fine, come over here. Well, like, I'll do it. You know, like, that's Mike, you're like, real. That's so nice.
I think, so before I opened my studio, I worked at a commercial studio. I had started out there as like an intern and worked up to be an assistant and then like sort of a staff engineer. But like while I was an assistant, I would see so much of that where like people, yeah, you know, it was like, well, this is a paycheck, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And just like, they didn't give a shit. And that, I don't know, it was just like really, really upsetting to see, like, like, you know, me as the assistant engineer or whatever I was, or even the intern or whatever on that project, like I was still like, I would still give my 100%, but like, I was just the dude running Pro Tools or whatever on it.
Yes,
so like,
yes.
But like, yeah, it just really bummed me out. And I remember I worked with, I worked with Neil Dorfman a bunch. He was, he's a really successful, record producer. He probably most known for working on, Dire Straits, Brothers in Arms.
Get the fuck out. This is also the other thing about you is that you are the most humble person on the planet and you have worked with like real musicians and real people and like, like, and you're just like, you're like, you'll never tell anybody. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy.
I don't know.
It's crazy.
But yeah, but working with Neil, you know, I there were a few projects I worked with him on where like he was getting paid like virtually nothing. He was basically doing it as like a favor. Wow. You know, and he absolutely didn't need to give a shit. Like, he could have phoned it in and it would have been completely acceptable, but like, he was going like 120% on those sessions.
I love that.
Me too. And I was like, I need to do that.
Like, gives me like hope for like, I just like humanity in general that I'm like, this guy who's doing it at this level, but it's amazing that he can do it at that level and that he like still loves it and is still doing it and is like giving his whole heart into it. Like,
exactly.
That makes me want to actually cry a little bit. I'm like, oh,
and
that's
like,
really cool.
Yeah. And again, like, I've worked with a ton of people who are like that, but I just specifically remember that with him because again, like, there were some projects where he was getting paid like almost as little as I was getting paid on those sessions.
Right,
like,
right? Yeah.
Getting paid like literally nothing, but still like, you know, absolutely going for it. And that was just something that stood out to me and was just like, yeah,
That's the thing. That's how I want to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally, totally.
So that's always been important.
I don't know if I've ever seen that like reflected in someone where I like look at, like where I've been that in like that close of a connection with someone where I'm like, yeah, like working with someone in that capacity and then seeing what I want my future to be reflected as. That's really cool.
It is cool. Yeah.
That's really cool.
I've had a handful of moments like that working when I was at that commercial studio.
Yeah. What, like, what else?
Oh, geez. I shouldn't have said anything. You put me on the spot now.
Oh, geez.
Sorry. I don't know.
It's no pressure. It's no pressure to think of any life-changing moments at this time off the cuff.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe another one will come up as we talk.
Yeah, it'll pop up.
But like I said, like, that was just one where, like, that was something that stuck with me. It was like, no matter what I'm doing, you know, if I say yes to it, I'm going to put my all into it.
Yeah.
But again, then if I don't think like I can put my all into it, I would rather just be like, yeah, go work with somebody who like can, you know?
Yes. But then that's also like you operating from a mindset of like abundance because you're like, if I say, it's that thing of like, and I've said this to, okay, there are levels to this in my brain. First being, like, because I would be operating from a scarcity mindset of like, well, I have to say yes to this because nothing else is going to come along. You know what I mean? Like, I would be terrified to pass someone along and then like lose that income. So you're operating from this place of like, I have to pass this along because it's not a good fit for me. And whatever, the other thing will like come up. You know what I mean? And then the other thing that this makes me think of too is like, JP and I have been talking about this a lot. And I did this like energy session with a woman one time and we were kind of talking about this and I was just like, she was like, you have to stop like doing things that are resonating like below your frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, you know, but like, I don't ever want to look at something and be like, I'm too good for that. That feels insane to say that. You know what I mean? Like, that feels insane. Cause I played this fucking gig, dude. I wanted to stab everyone involved. Oh, no. I got there. I was like he talked it up so big. And uh-huh. It was like in a place that I was like, okay, I don't have like a lot of following there. So like, I will play this gig. It probably won't pay great, but like, it'll be really good exposure because this is where you're located. So you're going to bring in an audience. No. There were like three fucking people there. I had to get there at like 4 p.m. for a sound check for a show that started at 8, which is like, because there were three of us. So we had to do like, you know, the whole backward sound checking thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to get there so fucking early. And then I had to like putz around and find shit to do for like 3 hours after my sound check. Sound check was a nightmare. He had like this like thing. It was, I'm like, I can't even, like, I shouldn't even get into it. But I just was like, I played this gig and I was pissed. And then when the gig was done, because there were three people there, we each made like $20. And then mm-hmm. he was like, hey, would you be cool giving your share to the girl who traveled to be here? And I was like, I literally was like, it's, thank you. Thank you. I was like, I also traveled to be here and I was here for 6 hours.
Oh, geez.
And I made $20. So I was like, I'm going to take the gas money. Like, I'm sorry. Like I know she's touring or whatever, but like, this is also what I'm doing for a living now. So like, mm-hmm. you know, and so I was like talking to this girl about that. And she was like, you have to stop doing things that are like below your like resonating frequency. Because she was like, also, that could have been someone else's like dream thing to do. So like, if you say no to the things that aren't a good fit for you, it allows someone else to like take that place and do a thing that they're going to be just utterly stoked about.
Absolutely.
So like, you are bringing balance. What I'm trying to say is you are bringing balance to the musical universe.
Whoa.
That's what I'm trying to say.
That just got deep. But yeah,
here we are.
I mean, like you said, like, especially if it's a slow season or whatever, yeah, it can be hard to like pass on something.
Yeah.
But the other way I look at it is like, if I say yes to absolutely everything when it's not a good fit, like that's using up my time and energy that I could be putting into something that is a good fit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You're so smart. It took me so long to learn that, I feel like. And I feel like you just are operating from that place. I'm like, oh, you already knew that? Fuck,
I mean,
me. Like,
I don't know. I'm always learning. I'm still learning it. It's a work in progress, you know?
For all of us, something I've always wanted to ask you is like, because you worked at this studio and you've worked with like a lot of like really like well-renowned musicians and people. And so when did you feel like you were ready to like make the jump from there to like your private studio? Like, what made you feel ready for that?
Yeah, you know, it was a handful of things. One was just, you know, being staff at the studio. I didn't have a whole lot of control over, you know, what sessions were happening or when they were happening. So, you know, for instance, now when it's a slow season, that's on me, you know?
Yeah.
But before it wasn't. So, you know, just putting that into somebody else's hands is a little scary.
Yeah.
Of just like, oh, if they don't get work for me, I don't make any money.
Okay.
So one that, you know, there was that. And, you know, especially as I was just getting older, I think I was probably 25-ish, give or take, when I stopped there. But also my girlfriend at the time, now wife, and I were starting to look at buying a house together. So then it was just like, again, with like the money thing, it was like, yeah, I would really like to be more in control of like when sessions happen and whatever. And also just get like paid better, you know?
Yeah. Totally. It's that thing where you start looking at like, you're like, oh, this is what it costs to be here. And this is what I'm making.
Yeah.
And that's like,
yeah, it's just
like
one of those things.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, fuck, I could be making that. Yeah.
And then also just like, you know, when you're 21, doing sessions that go till 3 a.m. can be fun for a minute.
Yeah.
But again, once I hit 25, it was like,
dude, for real,
I want to stop at 7.
Yes.
I want to
go
eat dinner.
Yes. I want to eat dinner with
my
family.
I
want to
go to bed.
Yes. And I want to go to bed at a normal hour and I want to wake up at a normal hour and I want to be refreshed for tomorrow.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Plus nothing good happens after.
No.
You know,
thank you.
9 p.m.
I was going to say after like 11.
I'm giving it 9.
But I think that you're right. Yeah, you're totally
right. There were a handful of sessions where, yeah, we would go to like 3 in the morning and would literally come in the next day and
trash,
you know,
it all.
The producer, the engineer or somebody or the artist would turn to me and be like, did it sound this bad last night? I was like, yeah, it did.
Yeah, it did. I was sitting here trying to tell everyone we gotta go to bed. No one listened to me. I had one of those, like, it was like this one song that we were working on and we were recording it, and it was like me and these other two guys, and we were like in the studio, and we hit that, like, it was like 11 p.m. and they were like, you know what this bridge needs?
Oh no,
it needs like bells.
No,
and
it doesn't.
I was like, literally, I was like, no. And then I literally, like, I never really put my foot down for anything like that. Like, with that studio time, it was just like he was like doing it all for me for free and just like liked working with me, and they like to be creative, and they would just take my songs and do cool things with them, and I was like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then this one I was like, no, I was like, I am not releasing this song with fucking bells, with like Quasimodo bells on the bridge. Like, it doesn't need it. Like,
uh-huh.
Absolutely not. Yeah, no.
Yeah, that suggestion would not have been made at 6
no.
p.m.
No, correct. 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 But at like 12, we're all like, slap happy, just like bells. Yeah, no.
But yeah, so like I said, like, it was a lot of stuff. And, yeah, you know, again, like working at the studio with those late sessions, you know, there would be, I would basically be gone for like a week at a time. And again, as I was buying a house with my girlfriend, it was like, I'd like to see you once in a while. Like,
yeah,
that would be cool.
That would be nice.
You know?
Yes.
And also, like, you know, I worked on so many amazing projects at that commercial studio, but for like every amazing project, there were a handful of much less amazing ones as well, you know?
I never thought about that. Yeah,
because again, like, you know, I mean, not that like I couldn't say no to a project. I absolutely could if I had other stuff going on or whatever. But like, you know, it would just be like the studio owner call, be like, "Hey, we got this going on." Like, great, let's do it.
Yep. Especially because you're like young and you're hungry and you want to, and you just want to do all of it.
Exactly.
And you also need the money. Like, you're young. That's probably one of those things too. You know.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Because I mean, I said yes to everything when I was 21. I was just like, "Fuck yeah, I'll play that weird bar gig in the middle of nowhere." Like, hell yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so like, now, while, you know, I might not be working with Shawn Mendes anymore, so, you know, maybe the highs aren't as high, but the lows certainly aren't as low.
Yeah, it's like the meat at medians.
Yeah, and again, like,
also, do you feel like that's like just being 30?
Probably.
Like, in our getting, like, I don't know how old you are.
33.
I'm 32.
Okay.
So I feel like that's also like getting into our 30s, is everything just kind of goes, like, it compresses a little bit.
I can
see
that.
In a really beautiful way, though.
Yeah.
Like, it makes it so much nicer,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah. And again, like, just thinking of what I just said, that sort of sounded negative. I don't think the people I work with are like,
oh my god,
worse
no.
in any
it
way. Like,
no.
I love working with who I
my
work
god.
With.
No, it didn't sound negative at all.
Okay.
It definitely
yeah.
didn't. No.
But yeah, like I said, like, I would rather go make records with Julia and you
yes.
and whoever else. Like, I don't know, just like all these projects that I love. And yeah, maybe you guys aren't
Shawn Mendes.
Aren't Shawn Mendes or
yeah.
the Lumineers or
yeah.
whatever. But I'm having a great time with great people. So
yes.
like
yes.
I think that's a win.
I completely agree. And I'm like, I've been thinking about this idea a lot, and I like wrote it into a song actually, where I was just like, oh, it's like, it's actually like those big, like those really big feeling moments aren't actually the ones that end up being the most fulfilling most
mm-hmm.
of the time. It's like, me going down to the city and like playing all my music for like the CEO of Atlantic Records was like really fucking cool, right?
Uh-huh.
And that's a cool thing that I got to do, and I think it put me on the map in some way in this area. It made people like look at me in a different way, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, it literally did nothing for me.
Mm-hmm.
It did not change my life at all. You know what has changed my life is like playing music with my band. My band
uh-huh.
is not the CEO of Atlantic Records, and they're not like, you know, like, they're not going around and touring every night. They're not the Lumineers. They're not Shawn Mendes. They're not whatever. But it's like, those moments have meant way more to me now looking back, and like the experience that I got to have like with my band and being on stage and creating and curating these songs together has been way more fulfilling
mm-hmm.
than like one day at Atlantic Records was.
Yeah,
you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very much how I feel about
yeah.
it. And yeah, yeah, it was a great time there, and I learned so much and got so many great opportunities. But yeah,
yes.
like,
and that's the other thing too, is like, it's like, yeah. And that's like, you look back and then you're like, oh yeah. And that was a phase. And now I'm in this phase.
Exactly.
You know, I feel like I can feel that clearly for myself as well, where I'm like, I'm definitely out of a phase and into a new phase.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
For sure.
Yep. I was just looking at, actually, on my Snapchat the other day, is my friend used to live in downtown Saratoga, and so we would all, and we were all playing like in his band, and he used to be like, we'd have band practice and they'd be like, okay, like we're gonna have band practice and we're gonna have dinner and like we're gonna do this whole thing, and we would all just like go over to their house and we would like play music and then we would like eat, so he'd like make some food, make some tacos, and we'd like eat some food and then we would like play more music, and it would be like 2 a.m and then like we'd all be like leaving and going home for like when we had like a gig the next day, we all had to work at like 6 a.m
oh, no.
And then like play a gig that, you know what I mean, and I'm just like, and then it was like, now it's like we have band practices and I'm like, all right, if everybody can get here at 4, we can be done at 6 and then we're all perfect. Home by 6:30 and we're good to go, you know what I mean? It's like, it's, and I think that some people like look at that as like a sad thing,
mm-hmm.
but I'm just like, I can wake up tomorrow and be a human and that feels way better to me.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, I don't, that's important.
Yeah, I don't feel like sad about, I think that that's just like, it's like there's a time when like that period is like done, you know,
absolutely.
What I mean?
No,
and
absolutely.
I'm like great, I feel like I'm a better musician and human being for it, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, because I'm like, we did it, we had it, it was fun, now it's done,
on to the next thing.
Yes.
Yeah,
yeah,
yep. Absolutely,
yep, yeah, that's wild. Do you have like a favorite studio moment, like where there was like a moment where it was like things came together and you were like, oh my god, like this is it, it's happening?
I don't know, there were a handful of them. There were a lot of fun studio moments. So one interesting one, again, like Shawn Mendes's record, that was,
you're
an interesting,
so cool.
thing.
That's so cool. Okay.
So I didn't know who Shawn Mendes was when I got booked on that
That's
session.
So funny.
I had
oh
never
god.
Heard of him at the time.
Oh my god.
It was funny too because the studio owner also hadn't.
Oh my god.
And he was like, yeah, we got I think he's like some up and coming pop guy, Shawn Mendes.
Christ.
And there was like an intern sitting there and he's like, he is not up and coming. Like
he is up.
Yes, he is up.
Yes. Yeah. I only knew who he was because like John Mayer posted something about him on Instagram once.
Uh-huh.
And then that's how I knew who he was. Yeah.
But yeah, just starting that project was really fascinating because it was the first time where I was like, unless we really, really screw this up, like this record's gonna be huge. Like,
oh,
that was,
yeah,
you know,
whoa, that's wow.
A really weird thing, just yeah. like going into the record just knowing that.
Whoa, yeah,
but that whole record was a ton of fun.
Cool.
It was really so there were like maybe I don't know 15 people at the studio for most of that session, between
whoa.
You know, musicians, songwriters, his manager, A&R people,
yeah,
producer, engineers, just like a ton of people, but every single person was super, super cool.
Oh, that's great.
Which is like, it's hard to find 17,
yes.
15 cool people
yes.
to put into a room together, you
yes.
know, like that doesn't happen a
whoa.
Lot. So that whole thing was
wow.
just a ton of fun. It was also just a weird one. I think that was three different sessions. It was like 2 10-day sessions and maybe like a 5 or 6 day session.
Two 10-day sessions.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Crazy, right?
Whoa. Okay. So say that again. 2 10-day sessions and then.
And then maybe like, I think the first one was maybe like a 5-day session or something.
Okay.
So it was like 25
holy
days
shit.
In total, which first off, holy cow, like not everybody gets to do that, first of all,
right,
to have 25
right?
days in the studio.
Yeah.
So that's fun. But the
yeah,
day
that's
before
really nice. I'm like looking at three and I'm like, all right, we
let's
got
do
3 days, boys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, like, I mean, yeah, most people don't have that opportunity.
Wow.
Cause
that's so cool,
you gotta
though.
Drop some serious money to do that.
Yeah.
But the day before, the first of those 10-day sessions, I, had separated my shoulder in like a snowboarding accident.
Oh my God. Oh my god, okay.
So I'm
oh,
literally
Jesus
like
Christ,
doing this whole session in a sling,
hand.
Like running Pro Tools and I had to like god. Set up every chair in the studio to have like the left arm
yeah.
extra high. So then everybody would like sit down and
stop.
Be like, what the hell
is
wrong with this chair?
This?
So that
oh
was that was an interesting challenge.
Oh my god. You probably don't even realize how often you use two hands until you have to use one hand.
Oh yeah.
For like
oh,
Pro
yeah.
Tools.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Pro toolsing with one hand.
Pro toolsing. Pro toolsing.
Or even, you know, setting up drum mics with one hand.
Dude.
Like,
Dude, you need two hands.
It just took us four hands to get this mic stand set up.
No, for real. Yeah, that's crazy.
And then the time the second of those 10-day sessions came around, I was no longer in a sling, and I remember the producer on that was like, "Whoa, you have two arms. I've literally never known you to have two arms."
Yeah. Surprise. Oh my god, that's wild. Oh my god. Yeah.
So but that session was a ton of fun.
Good. Oh, that's so cool.
But yeah, I don't know. What was, did I answer your question? I don't even know what you asked.
Yeah, you did. I just was kind of like, did you ever have a moment that felt like aha moment, like in the studio? Like, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. As far as like aha moments, I feel like most of those for me are like on my own moments. Like aha moments as far as like, I don't know, like from a engineering or production or sound standpoint.
Yeah.
That's usually just like me on my own. Like, I am just the biggest nerd. So like if I have a week off instead of like, I don't know, hanging out and playing video games or something,
yeah.
I'm like, hey, let's try every mic I own on the kick drum. And hey, let's try, mic I own on guitar. Oh, yes. let's try swapping the speakers from this cab to this cab.
Oh my God.
And just doing like nerdy stuff like that. Yes. So yeah, I feel like that's where I gain a lot of my aha moments.
Yes.
Although one good one that came from my time at the commercial studio, my very first day there as an intern.
Whoa.
I had just graduated like audio school.
Oh shit.
I was a little smarty pants at college there. So like,
oh my God.
You know, I thought I knew everything there was to know.
Of course, of course.
Which I did not. So my very first day as an intern, the guy who was engineering was Joe Furla, who he has 5 Grammys.
Oh shit.
And he did one of John Mayer's records.
Oh my God.
He's probably worked with a lot of other people.
And you're like, I just graduated from college. I know more.
I wasn't that bad.
No, I know.
but just like seeing him, like, again, my first day there, just like watching everything I thought I knew get like erased.
Be wiped. Yes. Yeah. Oh my God.
Just like everything was like, you have to do this and never do this. Just seeing all of that
be flipped on its head.
Exactly.
Wow.
You're like, oh wow. Like my teachers would have flipped shit if they saw me doing this. But like,
yeah. Like what?
This dude's doing, I don't know. There's so many like rules in audio. And especially, you know, I was in college from like 2010 to 2012. Or 2013? No, 2012. I don't know. I can't do.
No, me neither. Couldn't tell you.
2012.
Yeah.
But so like at that time, you know, there wasn't as much like just info. You know, there weren't 1,000 YouTube channels to learn from and courses.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. So like, I don't know. I feel like the teachers gave us a lot of kind of, again, like rules, maybe just to like keep us from screwing everything up. Just be like, maybe this won't sound awesome, but like you won't fuck up.
Yes, yes, yes.
So I think in that point they were trying to kind of give us a safety net. But like I remember like one, the teachers always told us like don't compress more than, you know, 4 or 5 decibels or something. And you know, we would almost never like process stuff on the way in because again, you can't undo it. So like I remember Joe was he was riding the fader on the console for the vocal into a compressor like live while tracking.
Whoa.
To be like adjusting the amount, how hard it's hitting the compression in real time, again while the singer's singing. And like even now, like that's, I'm not like, doing that, like that's
just like
ballsy.
Gave me chills. That's yeah, crazy. Holy shit.
But and yeah, I don't know, just like all kinds of stuff like that, just, like just going
but,
for it.
And
you know,
I feel like though too, like especially with like a lot of audio stuff or like music stuff in general, right, is it's like I thought about this a lot too, because it was like when I got to college, it was like, okay, like me growing up and learning music, like I learned classical piano first. So I was very much like, do, 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 do. And like even yesterday, JP was like, we had the piano set up upstairs and there was just like a little like minuet thing. And I just like sat down and was like sight reading it. And he was like, what the fuck? And I was like, I don't know. Like, this is just like what I grew up doing. So I'm like, this is like what I can do. But he was like, why doesn't like this translate into your songwriting stuff? Like I was like, I don't know, like my songwriting stuff just tends to be like so simple. And he's like, but you can play all this. It's like so weird. But it was like, I remember like getting to college and like being very clinical about music, and then it's like you learn theory and you're like, okay, this is how everything is supposed to be. And it's like music to me and like audio, like all that stuff, it's just like rules, learn them, and then break them all.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
I just feel like that's exactly what it is.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then it's like, and then everyone's like, oh my God, you're a fucking crazy master because you broke the rule and it sounds awesome, you know?
And like, again, nowadays, I'll still hear like some of those silly old rules that I heard in college. I think there's a lot less of it going around now.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, ultimately, you know, we're making art like,
yeah,
you know, yeah. Go wild.
I know. Like that was like when you were like, you know what I think this song needs? It just needs like a hit on a bass drum. And I'm like, sure. Can I do it? Great. Thunk. And I got to like hit this giant fucking drum. That was the coolest thing ever. I'm also like, why do you have this drum?
I love that drum.
That drum is amazing. It sounds so good too.
It's literally a piece of crap. Like it is a bad drum. But
where
it sounds
did you
so
get
cool.
It?
I got it at like an auction.
Okay.
My dad is like super into going to auctions and just buying crap that usually we don't need.
Yes. Yes.
But every once in a while, like music stuff comes up.
Yeah.
And he just like texted me a picture of like a snare drum, and he was like, "Hey, this drum is at this auction. Any interest?"
Because it's just like music.
Yeah.
Because do you have any other music people in your family?
My sister works in theater.
Oh no way!
But just us
two. Cool.
Nobody else is. No music people.
Where? How many of you are there? And like, where are you in the lineup of siblings?
I just have the one older sister.
Okay. Oh, she's older. You're younger.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm the baby.
Oh, the baby. Yeah.
But so yeah, he just texted me this picture of a snare drum. I was like, hey, I have any interest? I was like, yeah, that's that's worth a couple $100. Like, yeah, I'll bid on that. Whatever.
Yeah.
And then he tells me, he's like, oh yeah, I got I won that auction. It was $20. And I'm like, oh, holy crap. Like, that's awesome. He's like, oh, and it turns out it came with like
with
eight more drums. So it just came with like a ton of stuff.
No way. For $20.
For $20.
Holy shit.
But that particular drum, what makes it cool is it still has the original heads from the 60s on it. And like modern stuff, like it just doesn't sound like that. Like, again, for most stuff, I would rather have nice modern drum heads on it.
Yeah.
But for like a certain sound,
whenever you need that sound, it
exists. Just being able to pull that out. And I love that stuff. Like, I don't know if we used anything else weird on your song. Probably not.
I
don't
think so. I think that was pretty weird. I was
just
is cool.
That.
Yeah.
But I love, many years ago, I collected all like the normal stuff. I got some normal amps and normal drums. Now I just tried to collect all like the weird stuff. Cause, you never know when just like something like that will like completely transform a song.
Totally.
100%. You know, just pulling something weird out that either inspires somebody to play something different.
Yes. Yes.
Or just, yeah, create some weird, cool texture that like you would never be able to get without just some goofy old.
Yes.
Kind of crappy, weird
totally.
Thing. You know?
What did we do on another one of my songs at one point? It's called a Rhodes, right? The piano, mm-hmm. the thing. And we ran it through an amp.
Uh-huh.
And it was like this, it was so
that's
fucking
fun.
Cool. And like shit like that. I'm just like, and that's like why I just like love the studio.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, it's just so cool. And it's like one of those things that's like, and we could never do this live, mm-hmm. but that's also kind of the beauty of the thing is that it's like, yeah, we can create this thing as it is in this moment.
Exactly.
And like with what we have. And like, I just think that that's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like, I don't have a brain that works like that, where it's like, let's put this drum on here. And I'm like, and then I'm like, no, now that you said it though, I can totally hear it. You know
uh-huh.
what I mean? But I don't like, so also, cause I feel like you kind of wear like engineer and producer hat
yeah.
a little bit. So do you like that?
I do. You know, when I first started getting into it, I just thought of myself as like an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to do all the technical stuff. I just want to sit in my cave
and like be your little nerdy.
Yeah,
like, yeah
exactly.
Totally.
But one, like back in the day, there were much more defined roles between like engineer and producer, especially the farther back you go, the more clearly defined
yes.
those roles were.
Okay.
And in modern times, I feel like the lines have very much blurred. Like sometimes there are projects where it's like, this is the engineer and this is the producer.
Yep.
But even then, I feel like a lot of the time there's definitely a bit of
totally.
Overlap there.
I definitely, and I also feel like the musicians in the band end up being producers. Like
oh,
everybody
absolutely.
Just kind of is like, this might sound cool and this might sound cool and like whatever, you know?
But my thing was like, I don't know, if a band comes to me and if I was just trying to be their engineer, you know, I'll set up mics and hit record and like,
right.
You know, like, yeah, I could probably make it sound good. Great.
Yeah.
But like, I know I can add a lot more value to them.
100%.
and to their songs and help improve stuff just by like, you know, whether it's making suggestions on the song itself of just like, hey, maybe this intro could get chopped down a little bit.
Yes.
Or again, more often just like sonic stuff of yeah. like, hey, I don't know if this tone is working. Maybe we try a different amp or a different guitar, or let's try swapping out that ride cymbal. Or again, oh, we could really use like a cool texture here. Let's yes. like mess around with some of this weird stuff for a little while
yes.
and
yes.
try some goofy stuff. Again, one that's just more fun to me.
Totally.
Just getting into it instead of just hitting record and sitting there and saying, okay, see ya. See you later.
Right.
Like
see you on the other side. yeah. Yeah.
So it's both more fun for me, but again, also I think it helps the artists make
100%
cooler stuff. Yes. Cause again, they don't, I mean, you know, obviously it depends on the artist. Everybody has different skill sets and whatever, but like, I don't expect them to know how to make their vision translate
yeah.
in the studio, you know, necessarily.
That's really nice. Cause I feel like I have worked with or met even just like kind of met with like producers, engineers before who I'm just like, oh, you just want to phone it in and you mm-hmm. just want to like, you want me to come in and know exactly what I want. And you don't want to like, I want to discover, you do not want to, you uh-huh. just want to be done. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like you already want to be done.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's, and see, and that, but this is another way of me saying, Mike, you are like a rare one. Like that is rare. Like it's not like, you're not the normal in like wanting to like still like care about the thing,
uh-huh.
you know?
Again,
so you gotta give yourself a little more credit, bro.
I'll try. I'll see what I can do.
I'll try so hard.
Like wow. I said, I think that comes back to like every project that I do, I just want it to be like the coolest thing that it can be.
Yes.
And like, you know, obviously like I don't want to step on any toes. Like if somebody's like, no, I hate that. Like, great. That's your song. Like,
no, I'm not going to force,
I'm not going to force anything on yes. you. Like, yeah. you know, like it's your song. But like, you know, I just there to help people explore stuff. And again, try to get what's in their head onto
out. Yes.
the recording, you know?
Yeah. That's amazing. Believe it or not, we're like at an hour.
Holy cow.
I know.
That felt like 12 minutes tops.
I know. It goes by like so fast. But is there anything else you just like want to say about your studio or life in general or like anything before we leave?
I don't know. I'm just grateful to all like the super cool artists who, you know, let me help them with their Aww. Music. Like,
everyone again, like, work with Mike.
Everyone work with me.
Everyone work with me.
Angelina
duh.
Said so.
I said so. I'm laying down the law.
No, but seriously, like again, like I'm so grateful to be able to do what I do. Like Aww. It's crazy. Like
it radiates like off of you. I can feel that you feel that way. Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, I'm just incredibly grateful that like people trust me with their music. Because again, I know that can be like a hard thing to
oh, yeah.
trust somebody with.
Oh like, yeah,
that's like a piece of your soul. You
100%.
Know?
Yeah.
So it means a lot to me. Also,
Yay.
You should record with me because I have the cutest studio dog
Dude,
in the world.
Oh my god, I can't believe we didn't even talk about Cooper this whole time.
We'll have to do another episode
about
all about
Cooper.
Cooper.
We'll interview him. And what do you have to say about that? Correct. Oh my god, well thank you so much for being here. Thank
Absolutely.
You for driving
thank you for
up
having
here
me.
It was a pleasure to see you.
Yeah, it was so good to see you,
and I'm sure we'll have you back.
I hope so.
Everyone
this is
work
fun
with Mike. Good. Talking to normal people.